welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune, and before Tom and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Hinches.
All right, well, Chris, last week, you know, a really good second half offensively at Camden to kind of pull away, you know, where the defense was, again, strong start to finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, that was very important. I mean, I thought our defensive game plan was really good last week, and we showed them that something that Camden really hadn't seen, which was, man, a lot of tight man coverage, and, we forced that quarterback to be perfect in an uncomfortable situation. You know, I thought our three down did a great job of getting some pressure in their one-on-one pass rush situations, and we had double spies. So anytime he broke the pocket, what you saw on film was he'd break the pocket and he'd scramble for 4 or 5 seconds. We didn't allow him to do that. We pressured him. We sped up his clock and made him be perfect. And, you know, like most high school quarterbacks, that's hard to do. It really is hard to do with that kind of pressure. I thought our defense played well all night. We shut down the little run game that they had and played really good coverage in the back end, and they kept us in the game when, you know, offense was struggling. But, you know, I want to give Camden's defense a lot of credit, too. I thought they were fast. I thought they were physical. They had a lot of movement, a lot of pressure, disrupted some of our run game block schemes. We were able to, to scratch and get some points on the board and be able to pull away in the second half, like you said.
You know, defense again could be pretty big tonight. You know, as you host Rockbridge, I think if you add your total and their total together, averaging 96 points a game.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we're going to see a 96-point game tonight, but so I think defense is defense the key tonight?
I think so. Probably whichever defense can perform better against the other team's offense. I think, obviously both defenses are good. I think both offenses are talented. In a game like this where I think it's pretty fairly evenly matched, I think it's the team that's going to commit to fewer penalties, and that certainly wasn't us last week. We had a whole slew of penalties. Protect the football, not turn it over. That's going to be really important in tonight's game. And, just execute. I'm sure both coaching staffs feel like they have a good game plan. Now, you work practice all week. Now it's up to the boys Friday night to go out and put it on the field and play well. A highly emotional environment. I don't know what the weather's going to be like. With the remnants of a hurricane, are we going to get it? Are we not going to get it? I know we're going to have a big crowd. It's homecoming. We always have a big crowd on homecoming. There's a lot on the line. This is a really important game. If we've had a good week of practice, I just want the boys to come out and play like they're capable. And if they do that, we'll be proud of them and live with the results.
All right. That was Helias head coach Chris Hinches. Tom, I think I wasn't surprised by the fact that Helias won last week. I think the fact that anytime you get a 30-point win over Canada, I think you got to be very, very pleased with how the end result came about.
Yeah, it was kind of a strange game. It was 14-8 at halftime. 8, but Helias, you look at it, Helias defense held Camden to two field goals, and then Camden did pick up a safety on a Helias run play that couldn't get out of the end zone, and. But after halftime, they kind of went back to basics a little bit. And really that third quarter, they scored three touchdowns in that third quarter to kind of put that game away. They played really well. The defense obviously played well start to finish.
Yeah.
You hold that offense basically to two field goals. You've done a really good job. And the offense, again, just kind of wasn't clicking early, but then got some things straightened out after halftime and looked pretty good in the final two quarters.
How much of that then not being able to really be cohesive the whole consistently throughout the whole game, how much of that is a Helias problem and how much of that is Camden?
Well, Chris was really quick to say you've got to give Camden's defense credit.
Okay.
He said, they did it maybe a thing or two that we weren't expecting, but they were also really fast, really physical. And one thing that I think I wrote about a little bit in the Sunday story was field position. The Camden punter, Durden, who's also the quarterback, he was just pinning them back all the time. In fact, they had two drives that started on their own 2-yard line. including the one that ended up in the safety. So that, and really in that first half, they just couldn't get the field position to get much going. And so Camden did have more than a little bit to do with what was going on.
Sure.
But, you know, Chris always said there's things to clean up, and there were things to clean up this week for that offense.
Yeah. And then I guess one of the things that you probably have to clean up the most is it sounds like it was a penalty-filled game. So I imagine that's one of those things where, as a coach, that probably drives you nuts after, because those teams seem to snowball after a certain point. You know, you get a first couple, and all of a sudden they seem like they just keep coming and coming and coming. And it sounded like last week's game was an instance where they were throwing the yellow laundry on the field a lot.
I don't want to say anything about the officiating, about the quality of the officiating.
Sure.
But the penalties, they were all big. I mean, the Hawaii was penalized 14 times for 142 yards.
Okay.
And quick math said that's basically 14 yards per penalty,
right,
which shows that there were a lot of 15-yarders in there.
Yeah.
You know, Camerton was penalized 13 times for 100.
Sure.
And so that was something that Chris, he said they didn't want to harp on it. He said they talked about it Saturday morning when they were watching film. But basically, they've got to clean that up. You've got to be in better control of your emotions out there, because while, you know, you may react to something, you know, the officials a lot of times don't see the first part, but they see the second part.
Right.
So you've got to, you know, he said, we've got to learn that we have to stay focused on what we're doing and not get bit out of shape about something that might have happened.
Yeah. And I, you know, you want to get that cleaned up anytime. You don't want that to become a thing that keeps becoming a problem, but especially when you're heading into a big game like you are this week. So I think that's one of those things, sooner you deal with it, the better.
And really, that was the first time it's popped up this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's something that it just may have been circumstances that night and things that were going on. And I think, I don't want to say that at times the game was chippy, but I'm going to say at times the game was a little chippy.
Okay.
And so you just have to kind of let that go. If you want to stay undefeated, keep your season going, you know, you have to keep your head about you, because it's probably going to happen again, because now it's kind of on tape that you can react to stuff.
Right.
And then somebody's going to try to goad you into something, and the next thing you know, you know, the game has gotten out of hand.
Yeah, you got to be smart enough not to get baited, you know,
because
otherwise everybody will try to do it all the time to you.
Yeah.
So this is a big game this week. Let's turn our focus ahead. So let's start with the one easy thing to get out of the way first. It's homecoming week. We know all the stuff that goes with that, whether it be you and I getting pelted with candy at the parade, or it's all the distractions that come with that. So we'll get to Rockbridge in a minute, but the first thing you got to deal with is it's homecoming week, and there's a ton that goes with that.
Yeah, I talked to Chris a little bit about it. I don't think the homecoming stuff really bothers them. Up until the last couple days, you know, Thursday night there was the parade. Practice kind of got over a little early so the team could get up here, you know, get dressed and ride the floats in the parade. Then you get to today, where normally on game day, you know, school gets out at 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just keep the players at school. And then, you know, for the game, you know, if it's a home game, give them a little something to eat. They hang around till the game starts. Well, today, class is getting out a little early. So the kids are going to go home for a while.
Okay.
And as opposed to sitting around, because there's just no place for that many kids to hang out.
Right.
And not just drive each other nuts.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be one of those things that it's just a little different. And Chris said, you know, football coaches are creatures of habit. They like things their way. You know, follow this schedule every week. And this week it's just a little off. But, you know, it's homecoming. You can, you know, deal with it one time, and I think it'll be fine.
Not exactly one of those typical homecoming scheduled games, though. If you were looking for maybe the worst team to schedule for homecoming, this would be maybe that team.
Yeah, it's, you know, Rockbridge. I think it's just a matter of where it fell on the schedule,
right,
the way things happened. And you know, and but it also might focus them in a little more. You know, you're playing who, you know, I know we talk about Hannibal being a big rival. Well, right, Rockbridge, even going back to the NCMC days, is another big rival.
Sure.
And now that you're in the conference, and the way the conference has shook out the last 4 years, it's, you know, perhaps their biggest rival in the conference right now.
Right. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So the CMAC's been around. This is its fifth year.
Yep.
4 years, well, it's Helias or Rockbridge.
Yeah, Helias has won it 3 times. Rockbridge has won it once.
Right.
And whoever wins this game has turned out to be the champ that goes undefeated in conference play.
Right.
And, you know, you just kind of circle this one. This is, you know, the big game of of the conference year. You know, you're looking. I know we talked about this a little bit on the podcast before. For the conference, I think to kind of get better or get a little more respect might not be the right word, but you know, it can't just be Hawaii's and Rockbridge where it's one game. You know who wins, they're going to win the championship.
Right, sure.
You know, like Capital City is getting better. You know, they played. It was a one-score game at Rockbridge last Friday night until the last like 3 minutes, and ended up losing by 12. You know, and so they're getting better. You know, they think they're making steps toward making this perhaps a little a more competitive conference.
Yeah.
Camdenton, I'm not ready to throw them away. It's, yeah, they got beat by 30 last week, but let's wait a couple of years before we decide how good they're going to be.
Right.
They're still Camdenton, and I think they can still have a say in who's going to win it. Maybe not this year,
yeah,
but you know, next year and years to come. But I think right now it is a Hawaii's Rockbridge football conference, yeah, until somebody shows them different.
Yeah, I think it'd be foolish to say that Camdenton at some point won't have an impact on this conference, because I think they will. It's just a matter of what year. Maybe not this year. Yeah. Maybe it's next year.
They've played three conference games. Let's wait a couple of years.
Right.
So they've had home and away, and just see what they can do.
Yeah.
And you know, and again, Capital City's making steps. Heck, Hawaii's plays that over at Capital City next week.
Yeah,
they've still got something to say. They can still have something to say in this. So,
right.
While you don't want to crown anybody tonight, you know, it is a big step. You'll be the only undefeated team in conference play left if whoever wins tonight.
Yeah. So let's kind of set the table a little bit. Hawaii's 4-0 overall, 3-0 in the CMAC. Rockbridge 3-1 overall, 3-0 in the CMAC. Both of them coming off both big wins last week, Elias over, you know, over Camdenton. And it's Rockbridge, you know, gets that 25-13 win against Cap City. When we were thinking, okay, maybe, you know, maybe if Cap City comes and plays well, maybe they rise up and beat them. Well, they're not able to do it. So, again, it's a kind of a momentum boost for Rockbridge, who hasn't lost since week one, and that was only, you know, 46-45 in triple overtime at Park Hill. So you look at it and go, you know, both these teams could really easily be undefeated coming into this one.
Yeah, you know, and Park Hill is, it's a quality team out of Kansas City. They're not necessarily, you would count them among the elite of the class six teams up there, but you know, they're probably in that second tier, so that's not a horrible loss, especially in three overtimes. And this is going to be a quality game tonight between two quality teams.
Yeah. So talking to Kyle about last week's game for Cap City, he's basically came up with two impressions: that Brady Davidson, the Rockbridge quarterback, is as good as advertised, and he's got some good guys to throw it to. You know, so I think that's got to be where you start, I think, when you're looking at tonight's game.
Yeah, Chris talked about, you know, Davidson, he's definitely a D1 quarterback. He's a little different than Dernan was for Camdenton, and the fact that Dernan was more of a mobile quarterback, so you had to make sure he didn't take off and try to run on you.
Okay.
Davidson is more of a pocket passer. He's going to stand there and hopefully take his shots. And, you know, the last couple of weeks against Jeff City and Capital City, he's completed, I think, close to 75% of his passes for more than 600 yards and seven touchdowns. That's not too shabby. And so, and the thing is that Chris said, you know, if you let him stand back there, his receivers are so, he's got like five receivers, quality receivers, and one of them will get open, and he'll throw it 60 yards, and he can throw it 60 yards down the field.
Yeah.
You know, they're a big play offense. So, you know, I think of the seven touchdowns in against Jeff City and Cap City, you know, they're averaging close to 50 yards of reception in that neighborhood. So they can go deep. They are big plays. And Chris is concerned about, you know, we cannot get big played to death. We've got to make sure that we stay with our assignments, focused on what we're doing to try to, you know, keep them off the board as much as possible.
I may be putting you on the spot here, and you may not know off the top of your head. Did they get a chance to see him last year? Because I know Rockbridge did kind of flipping and flopping with their quarterbacks a little bit. Use a two-quarterback thing last year.
No, he played, memory serves, I think Davidson played all, if not the entire game, almost the entire game against him. So they did see him. And you know, Hawaii's won that game 20-10. It was the game where Sam Weirich got hurt, and Austin Weaver had to come in relief in the middle of the second quarter, and it to kind of, that was his first real varsity action, and he ended up starting the remainder of the year. That was a game, you know, 20-10 was probably not as high scoring as people thought it was going to be, but I think Elias got laser focused. You know, Austin's in playing now. We've got to kind of pare down the offense a little bit, and the defense really has to stand up, and that's what happened.
Yeah. So is it the sort of thing where we expect them to pass predominantly tonight, or are there some running, you know, threats that, that the Bruins may throw at the Crusaders tonight?
Chris said you can't, you know, it's not like Cam, again, we're going back to Camden, you think about a passing game. Camden kind of ran just a little. Rockbridge will run the football, so you just cannot sell out on the pass. They're averaging around 130 yards rushing per game.
Okay.
So you've got to really kind of stay focused. Don't get suckered by the fact that they're not going to run the football when they want to. And, they are basically kind of about, I don't want to say balanced, because, you know, 300 yards passing versus 130 rushing is not balanced.
Right.
But they can be productive when they run the ball.
Okay. I don't think this is going to be one of those where last team with the ball who, you know, has a chance to score wins this one. But it does sound like, okay, there's going to be threats from Rockbridge, you know, the Rockbridge offense. So, Helias on offense, if they have to score enough to be able to, you know, come out on top tonight, what's the likelihood of that against the Rockbridge defense? Because you look at the last couple weeks and you go, okay, they gave up 13 to Cap City, 6 to Jeff City, and 0 to Smith Cotton. But then they gave up 46 in that season opener. So, you know, how good is that defense maybe?
I don't know that you can struggle for a half, you know, like they, you know, like they did last week, and or like they did a little bit in the opener at Hannibal. You're going to have to come out and try to establish the fact that we can run and we can throw and try to keep the Rockbridge defense as off-balanced as you can. You know, they've got four pretty good-sized kids playing up front. We, you know, saw them. They were in the Jamboree with Helias and Blair Oaks out at in Wardsville, and you know those kids were all huge.
Yeah.
And so the line play tonight, I think, will be kind of a deciding factor as to, you know, Helias is going to have to run the football.
Right.
It's, you know, it's going to be an Alex Marbury, a C.J. Howell, you know, a little bit of Ben Lanigan, you know, Austin Weaver as the quarterback's probably going to have to run the ball a little bit too. Try to keep them off balance to where you can run and throw. And I think that'll be the key for the Helias offense, how balanced they can be doing both.
Right. All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. And who do you feel like comes out on top tonight?
Here's the problem. I had the picks in Thursday's paper, and I right. cannot remember the score I gave. That's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Getting old.
Memory. It
yeah.
goes first.
You know, I think Helias is going to win. I think it'll be – you look at the stats – between the two of them, they're averaging 96 points a game when you combine them. They're not going to be 96 points scored tonight.
Right.
I really, you know, one thing about weather, you know, Chris and I talked about the weather a little bit. The rain is leaving the forecast as we get closer to game time. So yeah. I don't know that the weather is going to be a factor either.
Okay.
I think it's going to be defense. The defense and turnovers are mm-hmm. going to be the key. I'm going to say Helias 27-20.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJ Rackers. Thanks for listening.